Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Step forward, couple of steps back. That's what it feels like to be a Jets fan right now. Welcome into Flight Plan, coming off the Jets' brutal loss to the Dolphins on Sunday. They're swept by Miami in 2025. Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt. Thanks for joining us, whether you're watching us on the video or the audio. Welcome to the Baggage Handlers as well on YouTube. Give us that 5-star review. Say something nice, say something funny, but make sure you give us the 5 stars. Zach, how are you coming off of that one yesterday?
Well, you know, I'm chilling. You know, I hate the weather that we have on our hands right now. Like, that's the thing that's really grinding my gears these days. But because I hate the cold, I realize that every year how much I hate it. And I'm like, why do I stay here? I don't know. But yeah, you know, I mean,
everyone in the Northeast feels that way.
Why, I know.
Why do I stay here?
It's the what they call it, like seasonal depression or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that was a terrible football game. Jets look terrible. They are not good, as that reaffirmed. We knew they weren't good, but I mean, they just got outclassed, and it was pretty bad. Obviously, a lot to talk about, but we did get to see Brady cook. He didn't really do a lot of cooking, and we got to see Zach Wilson briefly. I was hoping for a little more, but I did ask for that, and they gave me Zach Wilson. So at least I was able to throw a couple lines
in
about him
in
my story.
First time we've asked for Zach Wilson in a long
time. Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah, it's, you know, it's 4 games left. We've talked about this a little bit. I've never experienced a season like this where it just feels like we're just like getting through it. Like, I know they've had bad seasons. Like, even last year, it was kind of like it. Like, you knew it, like, it was a disaster, but there was some intrigue about, you know, who Rodgers, and there was at least like some stuff going on.
Who's going to be the next coach?
Yeah. And they even had talent last year. Yeah. We know who the coach is. We know there's not going to be any changes in terms of like head coach, GM. So I don't know. It's just kind of like we're just getting through the season where there's not a lot of guys on this team that I feel confident are going to be contributors like beyond next year or two. So it's not a great roster, which makes me think they're further away than, you know, maybe even they think. I don't know. We'll get into some of that. But yeah, you know, bad game, bad team. We have 4 games left. 3 of them on the road, first in Jacksonville, then in New Orleans, one of the best cities in the league, and in Buffalo, the cold, cold Buffalo. Go to Bar Bill, but, you know, I have Bar Bill to look forward to. Buffalo. I have Bar Bill to look forward to in Buffalo. That's how I would say what's getting me through the season is Bar
there
Bill.
There you go. Shout out in the new baggage handler, Christine Alex Amaro, longtime listener, first time baggage handler. Welcome to the welcome to the stream. We appreciate it. All right, this is a 4 downs edition, so we'll do 4 kind of themes from the game. And as these, I mean, I feel like these, as the season has gone along, are less and less about the game and more kind of big picture themes that the game makes us think about. So let's get right into it. First down, the Jets were not ready to play this game, which is maybe the most disappointing thing, because it's something we've talked about, like, hey, they aren't quitting, and hey, you know, Aaron Glenn still has them playing hard and everyone's pulling on the same rope, and like all these good things you say about a bad team that you're hoping is improving. And I feel like we could just throw that out after Sunday, because the defense, other than maybe a little stretch in the third quarter where they tightened, they were pretty much putrid. Tua nine of his first 11 passes. And they, it was just chunk play after chunk play. And then the run game where H-Chan, seven carries, 92 yards, Zach. He gets injured. Jalen Wright, 24 carries for 107. I mean, the defense was bad. I don't know which part of that you want to kind of like dig into. Just like, I know Glenn spoke about not having the team ready, which was kind of refreshing to hear after watching the team not being ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like he said that broadly and then he wasn't really willing to like pinpoint what made him think that necessarily outside of, you know, I think the drops and the missed tackles are the two things that bothered him the most. And, you know, the drops, I think they had six drops is what was the final tally. I think it was five as of last night. I don't know if they added another one on True Media. And according to Semenya, it's the most a team has had in a game this year. I believe they had 10 or 11 missed tackles. You know, coaching wise about Aaron Glenn, like I see the vision he has in terms of like building the culture. I think there's still questions to be had about, you know, the football coaching side of things like schematic and out coaching your opponent. Like there's competing, there's fighting, there's building a culture of accountability, but then there's when you're actually, you know, between the white lines, how do you perform and how do you prepare these guys? Like that's still something they have to answer. Their only wins have come against really bad teams. They've been competitive against some good ones. So there's still questions there. But like Steve Wilks is the big topic here for me. He pretty clearly is not the answer as their coordinator. And I think I'm going to write about this week, maybe for tomorrow. But like week after week, he's just getting out schemed, especially when it's like a really smart offensive coach. Like you could see right away that Mike McDaniel knew exactly how to attack him. They did it kind of in the same ways to a degree that they did in the last Dolphins game. They did a lot of play action rollouts to the tight end where the tight end is just wide open. These line, you know, and like if you want to play devil's advocate, like clearly Steve Wilks does not have a lot to work with. I think the linebackers have been a disaster. But like the flip side of that, and we were talking about this in the press box after the game yesterday, a few of us, like how many guys on the defense can you point to and say that guy got better with Steve Wilks in this defensive coaching? And Aaron Glenn is a part of that too, by the way. Like, you could say Juwan Briggs is maybe outperforming expectations. You could say Brandon Stevens is better with the Jets than he was with the Ravens. Other than that, I don't know that you can say anybody has gotten better by virtue of being coached by this staff. Like and that's, you know, if anything, you could say Will McDonald has played worse. I think Jermaine Johnson has been a non-factor for weeks now. Jamie and Sherwood regressed. Quincy Williams has had his moments, but I don't think he's as good as he once was. You know, safeties are, it's kind of a wash. Sauce was playing worse before he left. Quinnen was playing worse before he left. Like, this is not a coaching staff that has gotten the most out of their players broadly. And, you know, that's a concern for me. And the schematics also is a concern. Like, the way they, these offensive coordinators who have some creativity are able to just attack the weak spots in this defense and the Jets just don't adjust. Like, they have no pass rush up front. They have such inconsistent communication on the back end. I know it's a young group, but that's not really an excuse at this point of the season. And the linebackers are missing tackles or they're out of place. Like it's just a mess defensively. And ultimately it's going to have to fall on somebody. And whether that's firing Steve Wilks or simply Aaron Glenn taking over play calling and letting Steve Wilks like help him in terms of like leading a team or whatever, which I think Wilks has experience, obviously. It's just been a mess. And I think it's pretty clear that he's the spot you can move on from and try to get better.
That said, the offense also didn't really do anything all day. Now, granted, there's a quarterback change, and we'll get into that in the next down. But the special teams was where they got their offense, which seems to be a troubling trend.
Like it's the special teams is a great story, and it's fun to watch them. And Chris Banjo, like I saw today, they're number one in special teams EPA now. They were third. I believe they're number one in DVOA. Like this is one of the best special teams units I've ever seen. The luster's kind of lost a little bit when the defense is this bad. Like special teams and defense in particular need to work hand in hand, I think. Like
Isaiah teams, Williams needs more punts to return.
Yeah. I mean they were at one point they kicked it out of bounds to avoid Nwangwu and Isaiah Williams on a kickoff. Like their special teams unit is being wasted on a terrible team, unfortunately. Like you can feel good about it next year. They have to re-sign some of these guys. They'll get some injured guys back, like Irv Charles, who's a really good gunner. But yeah, you know, I can they maintain this level of play year to year? And can the defense even come close to it next year? Like, that's the biggest question. I think the offense has had its moments. It's very inconsistent, and there's definitely concerns there. But special teams has done their job. The defense has resoundingly not done their job outside of a couple of games. And it's bad because, you know, we, since in the years that you and I were podcasting together, the defense was always good. Like, even last year, it fell apart a bit. But, like, even leading up until they fell apart, the defense was still pretty okay. Before that, they were one of the best in the league, 22 and 23. And it's just, this is a shell of that defense now. And they have needs now. I think at edge rusher, they need at the very least depth at defensive tackle, if not a starter. They need one or two new linebackers. They need at least one new safety. And an argument can be made they need a corner, depending on how you feel about Jarvis Brownlee or Azaria Thomas. Jarvis Brownlee, probably out for the year now, by the way, got put in IR with a hip injury. So you're not even really going to get to evaluate him now, which is problematic because he only played like four or five games and they were a mixed bag. Like, he did not show enough for me to say he's definitively the answer. Like, I think he has talent, but so there's so many questions on this defense. And, you know, they just clinched missing the playoffs for 15 straight years. It's hard to believe they'll be able to turn it around quick enough to change that next year either, based on the defense in particular.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Second down, let's get into the quarterback. Tyrod Taylor obviously injured. So Brady Cook makes his NFL debut. There were moments for sure. I mean, he flashed a little bit at times. Overall, the numbers were 14 of 30, 153 yards, couple of interceptions. One of those interceptions was terrible. The first one when it was down the left side and he basically threw kind of into double covers. There was too much over there. It was easy interception. I think on Twitter you called it pitch and catch with the defense. The second one, and this was a lot of talk I know on social media, like that A.D. Mitchell should have done more.
Yeah.
Become a defender and done more to break it up. It's still not a good throw, but like Mitchell didn't really fight for it the way he could have. But either way, they're driving in both situations and interceptions. Now, he wasn't helped by those drops because I think it was the same drive where he ends up throwing that second interception. He had a quick out to the running back out of the backfield.
No, it was Mechie.
Was going to be a touchdown. It was Mechie, right?
Yeah.
It was going to be a touchdown. It was beautifully thrown right where he needed it to not stop running and run with it and just a blatant drop. So he wasn't helped there at all. But this isn't a guy that was supposed to play at all this season. So first question for you is like, are we going to see him again?
Yeah, there's a lot up in the air right now because you have Tyrod Taylor, groin injury. It was bad enough that it knocked him out. He didn't even come back to the sideline. And Glenn didn't have any updates today. I imagine we hear more on Wednesday. You have Justin Fields, who 2 weeks ago says he's not really keen on being a Wildcat quarterback because he's scared of getting hurt. And then all of a sudden, knee soreness pops up this last week. He's knocked out. Is he available or is this a Zach Wilson declining to play situation? I don't know. Do you want to play him? Brady Cook's their only completely healthy quarterback by all counts. And if I'm handicapping it right now, I'd predict he starts this week. I don't say that with confidence. Like they still might want to go back to Fields. I don't know why they would, but you know, I think Brady Cook, like it has to be said, it's a really tough spot for an undrafted rookie who has never played an NFL game to go an entire week without first team reps and get thrown into the fire like that against a Dolphins team that's very competitive now. So he was in a tough spot. He was definitely overcompensating in the beginning. His throws were kind of missing and he actually got, they went three and out on his first drive and there was booze. I don't know if it was for him or just for the three and out. I felt bad for him because it wasn't really his fault that they got, like, he hadn't done anything wrong to this point. He's not the reason why they are where they are. But, you know, I think as time went on, he got more comfortable for sure. I think he showed some flashes of, like, you know, he's clearly not afraid of the moment. For an undrafted rookie, there's nothing bad to be said about that. Like, I've seen some really bad quarterbacks play for this team that, you know, in the Brady Cook undrafted guy off the street ilk, guys like, you know, Luke Falk, Tim Boyle. And I think he looked better than those kind of guys, which, you know, I know it's not a high bar, but it's something. And so, you know, see what you have in him. I would play him this week if Tyrod can't go. With a full week of prep, I will say the Jaguars defense is not bad. They definitely force a lot of turnovers. So I'd be concerned about that a little bit. But, you know, I don't really blame his performance fully on him, even if he doesn't look like he's, you know, he's probably not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he didn't look terrible at the end of the day. You're on mute, Tim. But yeah, you know, I'm curious to see how this week goes. If I think they'll want to know on Wednesday who their quarterback's going to be this week, because if it's Brady Cook, he needs the reps. And that's where I lean right now.
He seemed willing to sling it to a degree, which I think is the reason, if Taylor's out and it comes down to him or Fields, I think you have to play him, because we've talked about all the time about, you know, getting an idea for these receivers and continuing to see what they can do. And he's going to at least throw it. At least he showed that. And he had a couple of great throws. He had the one down the right sideline over the shoulder. That was just a great throw. So you feel like Fields is going to come in and, from what we've seen, be afraid to throw it. And it looked like Cook's going to try to cook, you know, and he's going to come in. He's going to throw.
He drew the pass interference too, a little before his interception. I will say the interception, like you said, was bad. I don't know why they're calling a play to let him even go in that situation. Like, just get to the field goal at that point, like, get points. You know, and I will say, like, the Jets quarterback situation being what it is, it just feels like another classic late season Jets QB. They're just throwing out whoever's on the roster. Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle, like, over the years, they've just, like, thrown these guys out there at the end to get through the end of the season. Joe Flacco. It was hard not to think about, like, what we just saw from Fernando Mendoza on Saturday night against Ohio State. Like, and we'll get into that later in the week. Maybe we can try and get Dan this week. I'll reach out to him. But,
well, this is going to be an awesome, just real quick, this is going to be an awesome playoff run in college football.
Because all the guys are in it.
All the quarterbacks are in the playoff. It's really great.
Yeah. So we get to see a lot. I mean, Dante Moore is someone that has a chance to play his way and be the number one pick guy if he wants to. But Mendoza was really impressive. I still don't know if he's a superstar, but he just
that was like against the best defense in the country.
Best defense, which is what you want to see from a prospect. Whereas Ty Simpson looked terrible against Georgia, by the way. But anyway, my point being, like, you can envision Mendoza working in this offense with this group, because I think he's willing to make the throws. He has confidence and he can move and things like that. But we'll get into that later in the week. But that was a big part of my story, because, you know, is he their savior? Can they even get him based on their draft positioning and things like that? Like, it's something to think about.
The other thing I think you need, and we'll move on from Cook, is, like, he's undrafted. So this is obviously whatever. It is what it is. But it'd be nice to know if this is a guy who has the potential to be an NFL backup someday, or if he's just a practice squad guy or depth piece. And it'd be nice to figure that out and then just, like, have that in the back of your mind, because it doesn't matter either way, really, for an undrafted guy like that. But, like, if he becomes a guy that can be a legitimate backup, like, hey, great. Then that's a heck of a job by Mujee and company. Okay, third down. Maybe the receivers, the new receivers on this team aren't as hopeful as we thought they were. We already talked about the Mechie drop. There was and all the drops. But overall, Mechie targeted 8 times, had 4 receptions for 34 yards. Mitchell targeted 6 times, 1 reception, 24 yards. The leading receiver in this game was Mason Taylor, who had 5 catches, 51 yards on 8 targets. So, like, I think we had, like, Mechie week a couple of weeks ago where we're like, oh, this guy could be your slot receiver of the future. And then we had Mitchell last week where it's like, oh, maybe this guy is a number 2. And now it feels like neither of those things is true.
Yeah, I did try to caution people both times. I think like we have to see this the rest of the way. And I, regardless of almost how they played the rest of the way, I think you're going into next season saying, okay, we have them on the roster, but we're not going to base our decisions on the fact that we have Adonai Mitchell and that we have John Metchie. Like you just can't do that. And you know, you're seeing why, like these are not going to be consistent players this season. I know the quarterback play doesn't help, but they have not helped the quarterback in a lot of ways, especially Metchie, who has been pretty brutal the last 2 weeks. I think he has like 4 drops total these last 2 weeks, which is really bad. And you know, he's a guy that at his best, he's probably going to be depth at slot receiver. He's a restricted free agent. I'm curious what they do if he keeps playing like this. Mitchell has the athleticism clearly, and he's intriguing, but I still think they need to draft a receiver early, maybe draft a second one late in the draft. And I think they need to sign a veteran that you can rely on. And so if you go into next season, that means you have Garrett Wilson, you have the early drafted guy, you have the veteran, you have A.D. Mitchell, and you have the late drafted guy. And then you have people like Arian Smith or Metchie or, you know, I mean, Isaiah Williams has to be on the roster too. So you're getting pretty deep into the depth chart at that point. So I just don't think you can go into next season with Metchie or Mitchell locked in as a starting receiver. They have not shown enough consistency, and you know, we'll see how these last 4 games go. But I can't imagine, unless Mitchell plays like he did last week, all 4 games, I don't see how you can go into next season like banking on those guys. And it's not like you're really pot committed to them either, because you didn't really invest in them. Metchie was kind of a throw-in in the Carter trade. Mitchell wasn't a throw-in, but like, you know, the prize of those trades was the first round picks, and it was a bonus that you got Mitchell. So I don't think they should lock themselves in anything. I don't think they will.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
All right, fourth down, tankathon drama. Things got a little bit more interesting yesterday. If you look at the numbers, the Jets still 7th, but above them, things get bunched a little bit because the Titans picked up their second win of the year. So now the Giants hold the number one pick. The Raiders are number two. The Titans fall to 3. And then you have the 3-win teams, Browns, Saints, Commanders, Jets, Cardinals, which is shocking to me. And then strength of schedule on those, Browns are number 4 because strength schedule is 486, Saints 498, Commanders 514, Jets 541. Now, Zach, the problem with the Jets here is that strength schedule is only going to get better because they play the Jags, Bills, Patriots, yeah, and Saints. But you can see a path here with the Saints having won on Sunday to get to those 3 wins, where the Jets, if they continue to lose, where it seemed like maybe 6 was like the peak that they could get to. Now it feels like they could move up a little more, maybe even to the top 4 if they keep losing.
Yeah, I mean, if I feel pretty confident in saying they're going to lose to the Jaguars, Bills, and Patriots, as you were talking about. The Saints, like Tyler Shuck, I think that's how you pronounce it, has looked pretty freaking good. Like, he looks like they might not need a quarterback necessarily if they really like him, which is not a bad thing either for the draft order, because, you know,
yeah,
I mean, you want the Jets to lose to the Saints regardless, if you're like chasing the draft picks. I know there's a segment of the fan base is like, you try to win. I do think they try to win, and they might even win that game. But I don't think you're upset about it if they lose it necessarily, especially because New Orleans is a tough environment, no matter how bad they are. So, yeah, I mean, we've reached an interesting place. I mean, even the Browns, I imagine they want a quarterback, but Shador has shown some flashes. I'm curious, like, if these last 4 games for him, if he shows enough. But the Raiders are the one, it's going to be hard to catch them. So you kind of want the top 2 picks to be the Titans and Giants in some fashion, or the top pick to not be the Raiders, because that's the only way the Jets are trading up to get a Mendoza. Or, you know, if it's Mendoza and Moore, I feel a little better. But yeah, to your point, like, If the Jets lose out, they'll be in the top five for sure, because then you're 3-14. And if you're getting into the top three, you feel really good. I feel it's more likely they probably go, let's say they go 1-3, they finish 4-13. They probably land somewhere in the 4-6 range. And then the question is whether the Raiders are above them and if the Browns want a quarterback. It's going to be a stressful time. It's kind of like the Trevor Lawrence year a little bit. Though they don't really have a shot at number one, I think it'd be pretty hard for them to get all the way up there, I'd say, especially because of the, like you said, they're not going to really have tiebreakers because of the strength of schedule. So, yeah, this is tankathon season. This is draft positioning season. The Jets do have the draft picks to trade up if it comes to it. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, they have a lot of needs on this team. We talked about the defense. They need wide receivers. They need to make a decision on Breece Hall. Let's say if they don't bring him back, I think they will. You need a running back. You need to make a decision on your center and left guard, all free agents. And you probably need, you need a quarterback. So, like, you need most of the roster starting wise. So, trading all your assets, I don't know if it's the best idea unless you're absolutely convinced Mendoza can be plugged right in and be a stud. But, you know, more often than not, the quarterbacks look more like Cam Ward than they do Jaden Daniels in the first year. So, you're still kind of washing away another year. I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting offseason. We're going to talk about it a lot. I don't know what the right answer is in terms of what they do in that area. Maybe we're going to have more of an answer about what quarterbacks are going to be out there in these coming weeks as these bowl games happen, and we get a better look at Dante Moore, at Ty Simpson, at Fernando Mendoza, at Arch Manning. Like, if any of them go off enough to where there are no doubt number one, maybe this draft class looks a little better. But right now, it doesn't look like a good QB class, and it's really bad time to need a quarterback, I would say.
It is going to be interesting. I think because Oregon gets Texas Tech. I can see him looking really good in that game in the first round. And then obviously you see what happens. But then Mendoza, it's going to be a fun test because it'll either be Bama or Oklahoma, right? That they'll get in that second round game. So there's going to be a lot to dissect. So you could have that second round game where it's Simpson versus Mendoza. Be a lot of Jets fans watching.
If that happens,
you going to go?
I mean, they probably won't send me. I'm guessing it's probably somewhere that would be hard to find a cheap flight.
That one's at an actual... Does that one become an actual bowl game at that point? I can't remember. Semifinals.
At the very least, I'd be watching it, and I'll probably write about it, I would guess, if those two guys are playing each other, because that has Jets implications. So, quarterback stuff coming in the coming weeks, and I'll probably write something about these guys at some point soon. There's also all the veteran options. Like, we're going to have a lot of quarterback pods this offseason, kind of like we did going into the Rodgers offseason, though it felt like it was going to be like Derek Carr or Rodgers, I feel like, at the time. So
this will be more like the Zach Wilson season, which was actually before you were on the pod.
Yeah. But
going into that and like figuring out, because that was the Trevor Lawrence year, right?
And they had Sam Darnold on the roster too, technically. So
yes, that was, man, one quarterback situation after another. All right. I don't want to say this has been fun, but thank you everybody for joining us. It's been, it's in a lot of ways, things maybe get more interesting now because we've gotten through like the murky middle of the season.
Yeah,
and now it's time to like look ahead to the off season and see how things come about. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited to see a Brady Cook start on this weekend. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Thanks to everybody for joining us here on the Flight Plan Podcast. We'll be back later in the week to talk more draft and look ahead to next week's game. Bye-bye, everybody.